gotta make it to heaven somehow. Although the devil's been trying to turn me around, you see he's offered everything. He's got a name, all the wealth I've won, worldly fame. If I could, still it wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, there's nothing in the world that can ever take the place of God's love. All your silver and gold couldn't buy a mighty touch from above. When my soul needs healing, I begin to feel his power. You feel this morning? Oh, man, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, no, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I gotta make it to heaven somehow. Oh, the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around. He's offered everything. He's got a name, all the wealth I won, worthy fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing. Turn around, shake somebody's hand this morning. Tell a friend I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around. He's offered everything that's got a name. All the wealth I want, worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Well, there's nothing in the world that'll ever take the place of God's love. All the silver and gold couldn't buy a mighty touch from above. When my soul needs healing, I begin to feel his power. Then and there I would say I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, no, I wouldn't take nothing my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Oh, the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around. Oh, he's offered everything. He's got a name, all the wealth I want, worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Let's sing it again together. Oh, no, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me, trying to turn me around. Oh, yes, he's offered everything. He's got a name, all the wealth I want, worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. One more time together. Oh, no, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven. Oh, the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around. Oh, yes, he's offered everything that's got a name. All the wealth I've won, worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
Amen. Is that how you feel this morning? Amen. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Good to have Brother Jack and his family with us this morning in service. And Brother Jack, Lord willing, will be speaking for us a little later. And good to have the presence of the Lord with us, most of all. Amen. Good to have all of our visitors with us and all of you home folks. It's good to have you too. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. I believe Sister Christy has a special for us. I'm asking her to come at this time and sing for us. Amen. How many appreciates our special singers?
I'm sheltered, I'm clothed, and I'm fed.
Are you thankful for that peace? Amen. Amen. Sister Cobb, you got a special for us this morning.
Stuff. crying, wounded by that master of deceit, groping in the darkness, haunted by the years of past.
Sister Burr's got a special for us. You appreciate the talent that God's given the bride.
God bless you. Once my soul was astray from her hair, blew away. And blindness could be. Then my Savior above gave me peace, joy, and love when He reached down. Show me. God, oh, His Son, when He reached down His hand for me. Oh, how my heart does rejoice when I hear His sweet voice and the tempest to Him I can.
You're thankful that He reached down.
Amen.
Brother Branham said it should have been us crying, God, where are you? But he said instead it was God running, crying, Adam, where art thou? But I'm thankful that He reached down His hand for us. Amen. Let's sing this together this morning. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song. I lift up my hands, I lift up my hands to the Lord. We're singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I
love you, the bride is singing.
sing it one more time.
Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you.
Let's just give the Lord a hand of praise. Worship to him. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Amen. I have a little song, amen, that I want to sing with Brother Nathan, amen, this morning. But I bring greetings once again from West Palm Beach, Florida, on behalf of my wife, Sister Erica, who's with us. And I promise you, there will come a day where you'll be able to get Sister Erica to sing for you. She has an awesome voice. And, you know, we thank God for, and I thank God for my mother, amen, Sister Burrs, being here with us, and also my mother-in-law, Sister Cobb, amen, being with us. We bring greetings from the church back home, Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. And, you know, we just feel like true sister churches. Amen. Brother Nathan, before he started the ministry, used to come down quite often and preach for us. And we're still riding on some of the things that he spoke in our ministry. One of the sisters just recently in our church been suffering with she's about 87 years old and been suffering with cancer right behind her eye. And about 4 years ago, Brother Nathan came through, and, you know, I had been praying and just praying about her situation, and just didn't know which way things were going to go. You know, at being 87, she's already gone past the time that God actually allotted for her, you know, 3 score and 10. So we're just kind of seeing which way things are going to go, and I was just holding, you know, to faith and prayer. And Brother Nathan came and preached, and as he began to read a scripture, you know, out of the book of John, talking about Lazarus, it says, this sickness is not unto death. And when he just read it right out of the Word of God, it gripped, you know, my heart. And I just said, you know, Mama's going to be okay. This sickness is not unto death. And it's been 4 years, and she's been pressing right through this trial. So we thank God for that. If you all would remember her in prayer, her name is Mother Tillman. And, you know, we're just believing that not even cancer can stand in the way, amen, of the prayer. Amen. So we just thank God. So this morning, I want to sing a song, and I want to sing it with my precious friend, Pastor, amen, Brother Nathan, amen. And certainly we greet him and his wife and his family and the church here, amen, Open Door Tabernacle. God bless you all. We want to sing this song, I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb. Amen. I have heard how Christians long ago were brought before a tyrant's throne, and they were told he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one they chose to die. The Son of God they would not deny. And like a great angelic choir sings, I can almost hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor his commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Now the years have come and the years have gone, but this cause of Jesus, it's still goes on. Now our time has come to count the cost, to reject this old world and embrace His cross. So one by one, let us live our lives for the one who died to give us life, till the trumpet sounds on that final day. Let us proudly stand, and let us boldly say,
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb, with all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb, to the Lamb of God, who bore my pain, who took my place, who wore my shame. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I pledge allegiance. I pledge allegiance to, yes, I do, all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His command. I will pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Come on, everybody, say, I pledge allegiance to, for with all and with all I am, I will seek to honor His. Oh, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. One more time, I pledge allegiance to, with all my strength, with all I am, I will seek, oh, His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Last night we sang a song, and it's just, again, just a declaration for me. No matter what I'm going through, and I know that we all have trials, but it's good to know that God is in control of everything that we're facing. And this, just the chorus of it, if we could maybe just do a little bit more of that this morning, just says, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. It says, our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God. I just, the question in my heart is, who would not serve a God like our God? Sing the whole thing. Amen. We certainly will. Water you turned into wine, open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Into the darkness you shine. It's out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. No, there's none like you. Oh, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than me. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God.
God is greater and our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. He's awesome in power. Our God, yes, our God. I said, water, you turned into wine. You've opened the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. Jesus, there's none like you. Oh, it's into the darkness you shine. Hallelujah. It's out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. Oh Lord, there's none like you. And I declare this morning, my God is greater. My God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. You are my healer. You're awesome in power. You're my God. Yes, you are, Jesus. My God, help me sing it now. Say, our God is greater. Say, our God is stronger. And God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. He's awesome in power. Our God, hallelujah. Come on, sing it one more time. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Oh, he's our God. Hallelujah. Oh. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? If our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? If our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Say, what could stand against? Hallelujah. What could stand against? Our God is greater. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. He's our God, one more time, everybody say, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher. Oh, our God is healer. Awesome in power. Thank you, Jesus, our God. Our God. Oh, we ought to give him praise this morning. There is no God like our God. There is no king like our king. There is no Lord like our Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I want you to know, if our God is for us, who can ever stop us? And if our God is with us, what could stand against? If our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand? Oh, if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Hallelujah. What could stand against? Thank you, Jesus. What could stand against? What could stand against? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. Father, we declare it today that you are greater, that you are stronger, that you are healer, that you are awesome in power, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we love you this morning. We love you more now than we ever did before. No matter what our trials, no matter what our tribulations, no matter what our distresses, we know that you are in complete control. And God, we worship you with our hearts. We worship you with our lives. We worship you with our mouths. We worship you, Jesus, for you alone are worthy to be praised. So grateful for the words of this song. If our God be for us, then who can be against us? Lord, if you're standing with us, then what can stand against us? God, we thank you. We magnify you today. Bless us, Lord, as we prepare our hearts to go into the Word of God today. We pray that you just take complete control over every thought. Thank you for your Spirit that dwells in the midst of your people. It's so good to know that we can come into this place, Lord, and just feel your presence. For in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. Whatever we have need of, we can receive when we come into the presence of Almighty God. So, Lord, may your Spirit, God, just go forward with us now as we open the Word. Anybody can open the pages of the Bible, but it takes the Holy Spirit to bring revelation and understanding to our hearts. Bring, Lord, blessings from the upper springs this morning. Father, we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God richly bless you this morning. I want to ask that you would just stand with me. Amen. As we would read the word of the Lord today, I certainly appreciate just being here. And it's been a couple years since we've come, but you all are always in our hearts. I stay in contact quite often with your pastor. We probably talk at least once a week. And, just a real, real precious friend of mine. And as I was telling you all last night, Brother Trevor falls in that same category. He's one of those friends. And actually, I hate to say it, but I kind of only have two friends that I talk to every week. I have friends that I talk to, but every week, amen, it's Brother Trevor and Brother Nathan. So they're very, very special to me. And I'm just happy to be here, amen, once again with you all. I look out over the congregation today, and I know we have some visitors, and thank God for all the visitors. But I thank God for the family, amen, that dwells here, and amen, that calls us their church home. You all put a big smile on my face because I know the journey, amen, and it just. We've walked in the same shoes, and it just puts a big smile on my face when I see what the Lord Jesus is doing right here in New Albany. Amen. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. I want to just read today a very familiar passage of scripture out of the book of Kings, 1 Kings, amen, chapter 18, a very familiar passage here. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I'll start reading at verse 19. Praise the Lord. It's good to see Brother Steve and amen, his precious wife. We saw them yesterday at the little fair there. It's so good to see them out this morning. God richly bless you all. His wife had time. She spent a little time in Florida too, so we claim her. Amen. We thank God for her. 1 Kings 18, and I'm going to just start reading verse 19. Praise the Lord. Says this, now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel. And the prophets of Baal, 450. And the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him.
but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only. My, that's something, right? To be the only one standing as a prophet of the Lord. 400 prophets, you know, the groves, and, you know, 450, you know, prophets of the groves, and, you know, 400 that ate at Jezebel's table. There's 850 prophets here. And here Elijah saying, I'm the only one standing. I'm the only one that remained. I tell you, this number gets real small, but you have to be determined that if I am the only one standing, then I will be the only one standing. Amen. If nobody else want to follow the message, then I will be the only one following the message. I will believe that God sent a prophet, and his name was William Marion Branham. Praise the Lord. Glory. He says, look, he says, then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Now, first, they wouldn't say a word, right? Earlier, they wouldn't say a word. When they said, sir, how long you halt between two opinions? Say, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And they said not a word. But when they came up with this, you know, let's put these bullocks out here, and let's, you dress one, I'll dress the other, and the God that answers by fire, let him be God. The people said, it is well spoken. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen on today. We will use for our topic today the God that answers by fire. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. On last night, we ministered on who will take the book, and I used, amen, a quote here out of Pergamene Church Age that I'd like to just start off with on today. Brother Branham made the, and let me just kind of clarify this. This particular quote that I am reading from Pergamene Church Age, this is something that, you know, the prophet was told by the angel of the Lord, and he mentioned it first in spoken word as the original seed. Amen. He was told by the angel of the Lord to pick up his pen and write. And he told us that this was a message for the church. So the angel of the Lord had very specific things that he wanted to write concerning all of us that are sitting here. Amen. And, you know, so I think it's very important that we understand what the angel of the Lord was trying to write to us. So the angel told the prophet, pick up his pen and write, and he wrote a few things, and I'm going to just kind of touch bits and pieces of that particular message. But here he says, now let us stand like Joshua and Caleb. Our promised land is coming in sight, even as theirs did. Now Joshua means Jehovah Savior, and he represents. Now, this is what the angel said. You know, there are many times, because Brother Branham being so humble, that he would not even identify himself as being a prophet. Right? He was so humble. But you had to be able to catch that. And he didn't do anything different than John the Baptist. If you read John the Baptist's life, you'll find out he wouldn't even identify himself as being a prophet. But you have to be able to read between the lines. Remember, this is a love letter, and it's to the bride of Christ. A lot of other people might not understand what the love letter is saying, but the bride will catch what the letter is saying. Amen. Amen. So, you know, the angel told the prophet, just write this down. And he wrote, says, now Joshua means Jehovah Savior, and he represents the end time leader that will come to the church, even as Paul came as the original leader. Now, I have to be honest and say I'm only looking for that one leader, right? It's not going to be a group of men. It's going to be one man. And and that man just so happened to be William Marion Branham, right? Says, as Paul came as the original leader, he says, Caleb represents those that stay true with Joshua. And that's us, because we're staying true to the message of the hour. We're staying true to who God sent as the leader. This was not our choice. This was God's choice. We just accept how God sent it to us. Caleb represents those that stay true with Joshua. But the angel also says, remember
God had started Israel as a virgin with his word. But they wanted something different. And the prophet goes on to say, or I should say the angel says through the prophet, so did the last day church. Right. Now, as we read the scripture here in 1 Kings, to me there's a really big issue that we have going on. The children of Israel have reached a point in their history where they are halted between two opinions. And I mean, the God that brought them through Egypt, the God that brought them through the Red Sea, the God that brought them through the wilderness and all the great miracles of opening up, you know, the Red Sea and the plagues and everything that were in Egypt and, you know, just various things that they saw, water from the rock and, you know, I mean, so many things that they saw, the walls of Jericho coming down, the way they defeated Ai, Joshua saying, son, stand still, and all these testimonies that are just kind of flowing down from generation to generation and the children of Israel having all these, having a mighty God on their side. But yet we find them in their history, they get to a spot where now they're tossed between serving the God that did all of that or following a false God by the name of Baal. How did they get into this condition? Amen. And the angel told us now, amen, remember God had started Israel as a virgin with his word, but they wanted something different. And he says, so did the last day church. Now, if we just really follow it, you know, all the things that we saw in Brother Branham's ministry, but when you look at what's going on all around the world, not just, amen, here, but in Florida, wherever you go, these things are happening all around. How did the church get in the condition that it is in today after such great things happen in our midst? Come on now. How did we get there, right? I mean, history has a strange way of repeating itself. Glory to God. Now, you know, I was just kind of looking at this and said, how did they get to a spot where now we got these different prophets of the groves. We have Jezebel's prophets. You know, we have them wanting to follow Baal. And, you know, and here Elijah's the only one standing saying, I'm still following the Lord. I'm still staying with it. I'm staying with the word. I'm the only one staying with it, right? So how did the church get here? So we have to kind of take a little journey back to see how they got here. Well, if you would go back in 1 Samuel, you would see that the children of Israel had a prophet in the land. Samuel was their prophet at the time. And when he came and God was thoroughly vindicating his ministry in the midst of the people. But what happened is that the children of Israel began to look around at some of the other nations. And they said, they have a king, but we don't have a king. And they began to desire to want to have a king. And they took their first king, right? They took Saul as their first king. But and when they did that, church, it was a really, really sad time in their history. Because when they approached the prophet Samuel and said, look, we want a king. We don't trust your sons. We don't trust this. And we don't trust that. We want to have a king. They didn't have to use those excuses. All right, because, I mean, Eli had some sons that they could not trust either. But God raised Samuel up in the midst of Israel to lead them. Oh my, God knows how to fix things. Amen. God knows how to do things if we would just trust God. Amen. See, God had already given them Samuel. So why were they looking for something else? So Samuel, we don't trust your sons, amen, to lead us the way that you lead us. So you know what we want to do? We want ourselves a king. Right there, they were rejecting God. Right. Oh my. Yeah. Samuel took it personal. Samuel said, I can't believe that they don't want the leadership of the Holy Spirit here and the way that God is leading them. They don't want that anymore. But God had to tell Samuel, they're not rejecting you. They are rejecting me. Can I just add this morning? When people reject Brother Branham, God's prophet, they're not rejecting Brother Branham. They're rejecting Christ. Come on. Because he was just a star in the hands of Jesus. They're rejecting Christ. This is the way Christ decided to bring us revelation in this hour. So when we got to watch it because history, again, is starting to repeat itself. And we got to watch. You know, we can look at the outcome in Scripture. And we can see what happened with the children of Israel. We'll see what's going to happen today. Come on now. Amen. So, you know, here, you know, we see this. They rejected God. They did not want the leadership of the prophet. They didn't want the leadership of God. They accepted a king. And if you really trace their history, you see that Saul was probably, I don't want to call him the worst king, but he was a pretty bad king. Very wicked king. Evil king. Did a lot of things here he knew God had anointed David. And, you know, he's there trying to kill David. Doing all kind of things. I mean, it was really, really bad. The man had no character. None whatsoever. Right? But, you know, he did a lot of things that they should have known that this was not the way to go. And God proved it to him time and time again that that was not the direction to go. But yet they kept going. And we find them now in the book of 1 Kings. The starting point was when they rejected the word through the prophet. But now we see them in the book of Kings where they're following Baal. My God, stay with me today. I want to just kind of inject a couple things here. Pergamene church age, again, I'm reading from this message that the angel sent through Brother Branham to us. It says, now, let us take a scriptural warning here. Was it not in the days of Moses whom God had vindicated that Korah rose up and withstood that mighty prophet? He disputed with Moses and claimed that he had as much from God to lead the people and that others shared in the divine revelation as well as did Moses. This is what Korah is claiming, right? Amen. He says he denied the authority of Moses. Now, if I could just use this, you know, maybe Korah, if you all know your scripture, Korah was related to Moses. So oftentimes you find that it's very difficult for family members to have the respect and the honor, you know, that they probably should have for certain offices, because they just see that as Uncle Moses or Cousin Moses, right? They don't see the God in Moses. So it's very easy for them to kind of take on these type of spirits to reject. That's why you got to be careful that you don't get caught up in the midst of family things. All right, I'm going to just leave it right there. Amen. Amen. But he denied the authority of Moses, right? Now, the angel goes on to say some things here. He says, now, the people back there, after they had heard the true word and were well acquainted with the fact that a true prophet was vindicated of God, I say those people fell for Korah and his gainsayings. Korah was not a scriptural prophet. But the people in great numbers with their leaders went for him. Now, the angel already wrote these things before we even got here. All right. So when we see these things begin to happen, it's just prophecy being fulfilled. Now, I'm going to keep reading because there's going to be some that's going to fall away. But there's also going to be some that's going to stay with the word. Amen. Amen. Which group do you want to find yourself in? Right. I'd rather be found standing with the word. As it came through God's prophet. Hallelujah. And let me just go back to a little thought, because, again, family members have a way of just, they know all about your mistakes. They know all about your failures. They know all about your faults. They know all your everything that's bad about you. Your family knows. Where other people don't know, they do know. And sometimes because of what they know, it's hard for them to receive you. Korah was, you know, kind of like this. And I can imagine Korah saying, you know, Moses, you know, you're not the only one anointed. You made mistakes. I saw you make mistakes. Huh? I saw you. I remember when God told you to speak to the rock, right? And you actually smote the rock twice. That was a mistake, right? But you know what, Korah, rather than you dealing with Moses, why don't you allow God to deal with Moses? Come on now. Because what we have now is we want to kind of pass out the judgments. But that's not our responsibility. That's God's responsibility. Oh, my God. Come on. I'm going on in this quote. It says, those people fell for Korah and his gainsayings. Korah was not a scriptural prophet, but the people in great numbers with their leaders went for him. How like the evangelists today with their golden calf schemes like Korah's? They look good to the people as Korah looked good then. They have blood on their foreheads, oil on their hands, and balls of fire on the platform. But the angel said this, they allow women preachers. Let women cut their hair, wear slacks and shorts, and bypass the word of God for their own creeds and dogmas. Let me inject something. Because there are things going on out there, and, you know, somebody trying to disprove where Brother Branham made the comment that there's only men angels. They're trying to disprove that, and they're trying to say, well, you know, there were women angels too, and they got some scripture that they're using to try to support that. I'm going to take what the prophet said. It's men angels. Now, I want to tell you something. I believe that when you start kind of playing with the word in this area, where we start challenging whether there were women angels, now what we're getting ready to do, we don't realize it yet, but we're setting the seeds up for women to go in ministry. So when you hear that, don't be surprised, because they tampered with the word of God. Amen. Right? This is what's going on. So look, brother, the angel says they allow women preachers. So when we were talking about earlier that, remember, God started Israel as a virgin with his word, but they wanted something different. So did the last day church. Now, these are the things that you're going to see coming in. It says they allow women preachers. Let women cut their hair, wear slacks and shorts, and bypass the word of God for their own creeds and dogmas. Can I tell you, this is not denomination. This is people that are so-called believers. That shows what kind of seed is in them. But I love this part. But not all the people turned on Moses and left the word of God. Not all the people. Now, I'm glad that I can say at this point, I am one of them. And I pray God will keep it that way until the day I leave this earth, that I'll be glad to say I'm one of them that stayed with Moses, that stayed with Joshua, that stayed with the word of God. Oh, hallelujah. Not all the people turned on Moses and left the word of God. No, the elect stayed with him. The same is happening again today. Many are leaving the word, but some are staying with it. But remember the parable of the wheat and tares. The tares have to be bundled for burning. These apostate churches are getting bound closer and closer together, ready for the fires of God's judgments, but the wheat is going to be gathered to the master. I love this. I love this. What we find here, amen, in this particular passage of scripture, as we're reading in 1 Kings, oh, glory to God. This is what we call a showdown that was getting ready to happen. And if I could just, you know, I got a definition here I want to share with you. A showdown is a final test or confrontation that's intended to settle a dispute. It's the final test or confrontation, and it's intended to settle a dispute. I remember, you know, David going out to take some food to his brothers. And as he was out there, you know, just giving the food to his brothers, all of a sudden Goliath walked out. And Goliath began to issue a challenge to the nation of Israel. And as he issued his challenge, David happened to be standing by that day. And, you know, hey, who is this guy that keep coming out doing this? And why is everybody running and hiding? And where's Saul? He's head and shoulders above us all. Where's Saul? Why is he not out here fighting this guy? So David kind of took courage and said, look, if God brought me through, amen, fighting a bear, and God brought me through fighting a lion, I think I can take out this guy too. So David began to get some courage, and as he began to talk like that amongst the camp, it began to encourage the people. They thought that this little bitty fella, he might not be big enough in structure or size to face this guy, but he got something on the inside, and we believe in what he has on the inside. Says, let him go on out there and fight. We believe this guy's going to overcome Goliath. Well, David said, you know, this is going to be a showdown. We're going to prove whose God is God. And David walked out there. This is going to be the final test to settle this dispute. And when Goliath saw David coming, this little boy coming out there, he just could not believe that they would send a warrior out like that. But God was in that warrior. Amen. And he took his slingshot, got himself five smooth stones,
took one of those stones and just began to hurl it towards Goliath. And if he was anything like me, he probably went out with his eyes closed and just began to, by faith, just whirl it. And God directed that stone right into the place, the only place that it could go, right in the center of Goliath's forehead. Come on. God going to give us some stones today to knock the modern day Goliaths out. Because the forehead is where the revelation's coming from. But God going to give you revelation and knock those things right out. Don't you worry about it, church. There's going to be a showdown today, but we're going to be well equipped to handle the showdown. There will be a final test. There will be a final confrontation. But God will settle all the dispute. The Hebrew boys, when they went into the fire, that was a showdown. When Daniel went into the lion's den, that was a showdown. When Moses went against Dathan and Korah, I should say Dathan and Korah rising up against Moses, that was a showdown to finally settle the dispute. Now, let's just kind of pick this up in the scripture in 1 Kings. Because this was a dispute that was being settled. Let's go back and read this. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Stay with that word, church, no matter what it takes. And I know what we have nowadays, holding to this truth, especially with the way people go to church nowadays, you see all kind of things happening in church. All kind of things. People go dressed any kind of way and might live any kind of life. I was listening to a preacher recently. He was certainly teaching the people that they had to go beyond just baptism and water. You know, he was teaching them that they had to have a true experience by being baptized with the Holy Ghost. But, you know, as he was teaching it, he never really called the people out of their repentance. I mean, to repentance and out of their sin. He said they could receive the Holy Ghost still living in sin. No. That's not acceptable. I mean, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, right? Not an evil spirit, but the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit only going to live in a clean vessel, right? But churches, they're growing in numbers like crazy and teaching false doctrine. See? Amen. Showdowns are happening every day. But let's look at this in the scripture. Here again, 1 Kings 18. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 19, you all know it, but let's just read it. It says, now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. These are prophets that are being paid by Jezebel. They're on her payroll, so it's very easy because they're getting money, right, from Jezebel. It's very easy for them to say what Jezebel wants them to say. But in the message, you don't have ministers like that. They just say what God tells them to say because they're on nobody's payroll. Come on now. All right. Verse 20 says, so Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And I just want to, you know, we want to inject a couple things here. Says, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. Now this halted between two opinions. Amen. Brother Branham tells us that this is a state of spiritual amnesia. People forget who they are and where they come from, how God got them to this point. They forget all about that. They go through a cycle of amnesia. Now, let's just read a little bit about it. We're going to come back to the scripture. Brother Branham says this in the message, Spiritual Amnesia. Says, now, this amnesia, amen, we're told, calls you to be to a place where you cannot identify yourself. Now, it's one thing when you can't identify your neighbor or you can't identify your friend, but it's a whole different thing when you can't identify yourself. Amen. Says now it's an unusual thing. It don't happen too often, but the cause is from shock. Oh my God. The cause is from shock. Right? I don't even have the time, but I can name a lot of things that people are shocked about in this message. That didn't happen? You say that didn't happen? Shock! Are you kidding?
You know, I mean, you know, but the prophet already told us that these things were going to happen. We have to have other people come from secular circles to vindicate what has happened.
Oh, Jesus, help us.
Shock has caused amnesia. The prophet also says this. Says, it's somebody that don't even know who they are. You find it from wars.
Oh, my.
Ooh. Wars will cause shock.
Oh, my. I love the little quote that we got up there on the board. It says, church, whatever you do, just make sure you maintain love. Amen. Whatever you do, maintain love. Don't allow wars to start. Don't allow separation to start in the midst of the body of Christ. Amen. We are one. We are family. We are one. See, because war is sometimes in the church, it creates amnesia. Oh, my. Listen, it says you find it from war. Sometimes soldiers get it. Sometimes people get it. Another thing causes it is worry. Worry will cause it. I want to just give you something. I heard this a long time ago. If you're going to worry, don't pray. But if you're going to pray, don't worry. Hallelujah. Listen, worry has no virtue to it at all. Yeah, just skip worry and accept faith. Someone said, well, now what if you're going to be shot in the morning? Wouldn't you worry? I said, no, I don't think so. Why? Says, why, worry couldn't do nothing but make me worse. Well, what good is it going to do to have faith? I said, it might deliver me. And that's right, see? So worry has no virtue to it. All at all, but faith has all virtue. Believe. Now worry sometimes causes it. The prophet also says this. Another thing that causes it among the people is getting between two opinions. That'll cause amnesia. And it gets you to a place where you actually, what you've done, you've lost your reasons. You've lost your mind. You don't know who you are. You can't identify yourself. You can walk around, eat, and everything, but you still can't identify yourself. You have got your scholarly education, the same education you had, but you don't know where it come from. You don't know who you are, where you belong. That's amnesia, so we are told. My God, my God, my God, I was... When we talk about, you know, people halting between two opinions, and this is what the nation of Israel found themselves, that, man, is Baal God? Or is God still God? Right? I mean, we're just between two opinions, and I don't even know how they got to that condition. Right? But, you know, they rejected the prophet. They rejected the word. This is what led to this. Right? Here they are. Oh, my. Come on, church. Stay with that word. Stay with it. Stay with it. I want to encourage you to stay with it. No matter what anybody does, stay with that word. Listen, hallelujah. There are some questions that you might get. The scripture actually tells you that you can avoid some of them. Right? The Bible say avoid foolish questions. If you'll be able to detect a spirit really quick. Now, that question, that's not even a question where you're searching for truth. That's a question where you're trying to create some doubt. And before, if I entertain that, I'll be walking in spiritual amnesia someday. So I won't open the womb of my mind or the womb of my spirit to foolishness. Hallelujah. All right, let me keep going. I just want to drop a couple things in here. Halted by two opinions. Brother Branham said another thing that causes among people is when they get between two opinions. Now I'm going to just drop some natural things in right here. Unequally yoked relationships can put us in a place where we're halted between two opinions. And I've seen this in churches, amen, just all over. Unequally yoked relationships do not work. They leave us in limbo, right? And then it's hard to pick yourself up after you fell into one of those relationships. You can spend many wasted years of your life because of an unequally yoked relationship. You get to a spot where you're halted. Is it right? Is it not right? You get halted. Just stay with the word. You'll know what's right. Amen. Amen. Sometimes pursuing a better paying job, nothing wrong with that. But when the job causes you to miss church, that can halt your relationship with God. Not just your relationship, but your family's relationship. Come on now.
Another one is a misinterpretation of the word of God. Eve misinterpreted the word of God at the beginning, and that caused a halt. That caused a separation in the relationship.
My. Korah also went through the same thing. He had a misinterpretation of the word of God, and it caused a big problem for him and his family. Because when we read the scripture, you know, there in Numbers, not only was Korah destroyed, but his family was destroyed because of this misinterpretation that he had, that halt that he experienced. God, we don't want to halt. We just want to keep moving on by faith. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pick it up again in the scripture. 1 Kings 18, 21. Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Says, let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and call ye on the name of your gods, because they had many of them, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. So everybody agreed with this. I find that we should have the same type of agreement today. If God answers by fire today, then it should settle everybody's spirit. There should be no more questions if God answers by fire. Let's keep reading. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. So cry louder is what Elijah is telling them. Verse 28 says, and they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. I got to stop right there just for a minute. There is a spirit in the land today that many of our young people are dealing with. And there's a spirit where they feel like they're under so much pressure that they have to cut themselves to relieve the pressure. And it's a demonic presence that is attacking our children. Parents, please be aware, that is a demon. And the children of God never had to do things like that, but demons have anointed people to do this. Come on now. So when we see that cutting and slicing themselves and all that, that is a demonic presence. So get to your pastor or whatever, get somebody that can pray against that spirit so your child won't be overtaken by it. The devil's trying to take somebody out, cut their life short. There isn't that much pressure where you have to go through that. And we that are a little older, we didn't have that. We didn't go through those type of things, but the young ones today are going through that. It's happening everywhere. Let's keep going. Verse 29 says, And it came to pass when midday was passed, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid them on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran around about the altar and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. Oh my. And that I am thy servant and that I have done all these things at thy word. I didn't do this in my own. I didn't do this because I wanted to do it. I did it because you asked me to do it. At thy word, he says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. We find here in Elijah's situation, this showdown that took place, God answered by fire. God answered by fire. There's going to be another showdown, amen, in our day. Hallelujah. And I believe God will answer by fire. Showdown has already occurred. You know, in one particular situation, we see Elijah here with these 400 prophets, 450 prophets. Well, you all know the story, Brother Branham, when he went to Chicago. And when he went there to Chicago, they wanted to kind of get him crossed up in his doctrine on water baptism. And the angel Lord had already told him, say, they got questions about water baptism. And they want to try to trap you. And the angel just showed him, said, you know, you're not going to be able to get this room. You're not going to be able to get this. You're not going to be able to do that. And as he was there in the hotel room, he told the brother that invited him. He said, look, y'all not going to be able to get the room. And say, the reason that I'm here at this meeting is because y'all got questions about water baptism. Say, this going to happen. That's going to happen. That's going to happen. Watch. Said, no, it can't happen, Brother Branham. We got this. We had this planned out. Those things can't happen. It happened exactly the way the prophet said it would happen. When they got to the room, the brother stood up and said, look, I know that y'all got some differences with him on this doctrine. But I tell you, he told me everything that would happen, and it did happen exactly the way he said it. Right? It happened exactly the way he said it. Said, now, y'all might have some questions about his doctrine, but I know that this man is a man of God. And when Brother Branham stepped out and said, look, you know, anybody, you know, all of these 400 ministers, well-trained in the gospel, if you got a question, get your Bible, not your opinion, but get your Bible and come stand by my side and let's go through it together. He said it was the quietest room of ministers that you had ever seen. God settled that dispute. And they say, you know what, Brother Branham, you're right. We're coming to be baptized. Brother Branham say, I'm waiting on them. They haven't showed up. Praise the Lord. God know how to settle the dispute. Here in the scripture, this is not the only time that God answered by fire. I want to just kind of walk you through just a couple more things if I can. Amen. God answered by fire when he called Moses out at the burning bush in Exodus 3. Moses was attracted to the fire, but then he heard the voice. All right. And today we find people that are no longer attracted to God's supernatural voice. They'll take the sign, but they'll have nothing to do with the voice. In 1 Chronicles 21:26. Now, this is going to be very important for you. God answered by fire in the days of David. David numbered the warriors, which was displeasing to God. And the reason I believe it was displeasing because it showed that David had a reliance on the number of men in the army rather than relying on the God of Israel as his protector. For his punishment, David was asked by the prophet Gad to choose 3 years of famine, 3 months to be destroyed before his enemies, or three days of the sword of the Lord through pestilence. Now, I want to say that again. David was asked by the prophet Gad to choose 3 years of famine, or 3 months to be destroyed before his enemies, or 3 days of the sword of the Lord. And you'll find that in 1 Chronicles 21:26. But there is a reference scripture to 1 Chronicles 21:26 that you will find in 2 Samuel 24:13. Talking about the same situation, but we get a different number. Oh my.
in 2 Samuel 24:13, rather than it be 3 years of famine, it was 7 years of famine. Now, I'm telling you this, and I'm giving you the scriptures because you can read it yourself. 1 Chronicles 21:26 and 2 Samuel 24:13. It's like a discrepancy there. Now, I said that, and I don't see anybody jumping up out their seat saying, I just can't follow the Bible anymore. Brother Jack, you just pointed out a mistake in the scripture, and I can't follow the Bible anymore. If you can't say that against the Bible, don't say it against the message. Amen. You can show people. It's all in there, right? I mean, God is the one that we trust. God, I mean, we stand on him. And look, and I could probably give you a reason why that's there, but I'm not going to give you the reason. Brother, help me see that, why that might be there, why one writer might have wrote it just a little bit different. Right, but if you didn't have the insight to look in you to say there's a mistake in the Bible, I can't accept the Bible anymore. I'm out of here. What are you going to be now? Since you're not going to be a Christian, what are you going to be now? Amen. Church, you know, that's why I said last night it's nonsense that people are coming up with this word is right. Amen. I mean, as we just start going through all those types last night on who would take the book, only through the message. Only through the revelation that God brought to us through this message that we could even take something out of the book of Joshua and see how it tied right into Revelation 5. I would have never found that in my Baptist church. I would have never found it in my Pentecostal church. It's because of this message that I have. We have prophetic insight through God sending a prophet and revealing the word to us. The whole Bible is a new Bible to us because of this message. I tell you what, it's not a book of law. But it's a book of life. He was given 3 months. 3 years of famine. 3 months to be destroyed before his enemies. 3 days of the sword of the Lord through pestilence. David submitted to the 3 days of the sword of the Lord. The Bible said that God repented and told the angel to stay his hand. David saw the angel standing between heaven and earth with his sword drawn over Jerusalem. And it was here that David stood in the gap for the people by offering himself. Lord, I made a mistake. I offered myself a perfect type of Christ. Listen, so if this was the perfect type of Christ, offering himself for our sins on the cross, David purchased the land of Ornan and built an altar there. And when David built that altar, God was so pleased with what David did, the sacrifice that he gave, that God answered from heaven with fire. We talked about Dathan and Korah standing against Moses. And in that time, God challenged them. And notice, when you go back and you read that in the book of Numbers, chapter 16, Dathan stood with men that the Bible said they were famous men. They were men of renown. They supported Dathan. They supported Korah in their stance against Moses. Right? Now, what happened there is that, you know, Moses said, look, we're going to settle this dispute once and for all. If y'all would just read with me. I want to read it. I could tell it to you. Look, turn with me to number 16. I want to show you just a couple things there. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. They stood against Moses. Let's pick it up in verse 19. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. The Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. Now God was telling them, separate now. It says, and they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah and Dathan and Abram. They were actually told to leave a church. Get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abram. Says, and Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you from the tents of these wicked men and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram on every side. I like this. Now, I won't read it, but I'll tell you where it is. You'll find it in Numbers 26. That when Moses said that they got up, do you realize that Korah's sons, Korah's own blood, got up and left their father's tent? Let me also say, they left their daddy's church.
That's right.
His sons. Because I believe his sons say, look, daddy, you've never been vindicated. But Moses has already been vindicated.
Amen.
Oh, my God. I can say Brother Branham has been thoroughly vindicated.
Amen.
But the rest of you, I don't know anything about you. So if I was given this choice, I'd get up too, just like Korah's sons. They got up and left their daddy standing right there. Oh, my. They might have been in church for a long time, but there come a time for a showdown. I said, daddy, I'm sorry. I appreciate your revelation, but I don't see it that way. I'm going over here to Moses' tabernacle. Look at it. Verse 27, so they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abram on every side, and David and Dathan and Abram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. Right? Moses didn't send himself. God sent him. Brother Branham didn't send himself. God sent him. Behold, I send you, Elijah. Right? But if the Lord make a new thing and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up in their houses and all the men that appertain unto Korah and all their goods. But we're talking about the God that answered by fire. Look. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Verse 34 says this, and all Israel that were round about them fled. They start running then. At the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. Verse 35 is where we find it. See them 250 renowned men, famous men. God remembered them. They stood with Dathan and Korah. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offer incense. God remembered them. See, I'd rather be standing with the revealed word. I'd rather be standing with the prophet than standing with somebody that has not been vindicated. Just because they got head knowledge, that don't mean anything. I want vindication. God answered by fire in the days of Moses. God answered by fire in the days of David. God answered by fire in the days of Elijah. God answered by fire in our day. There was another showdown. Took place some 50, 60 years ago. This man had a problem believing that Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that God still healed his people. He wanted to prove that it was a hoax. Maybe Brother Branham was hypnotizing people or something. We don't know how this is even happening. Brother Branham did not want to take this argument. But Brother Bosworth said, I would love to take it. I love to stand up and just show where I stand on this subject. So if you don't mind, Brother Branham, would you let me take it? And Brother Bosworth was up in age, you know, kind of like a Caleb, you know. I said, look, I'm just as strong today now than when I first received the promise. So let me take on this Dr. Bess.
Let me have. Let me have them, Brother Branham. Brother Branham said, just don't argue, Brother Bosworth. Just whatever you do, don't argue. Say, I promise you, I won't argue. Got up there, and Dr. Best just began to go through his scriptures there in the Houston Coliseum and trying to disprove this message. And as he was there trying to disprove it, then he said, okay, are you finished? Okay, yeah. So now it's my turn. He just got up and just asked him one question. You know, do the seven compound names, the seven redemptive names of Jehovah, are those connected to the Lord Jesus? Dr. Best had no answer. So Brother Bosworth said, okay, I'm kind of done. This man can't answer my questions with the scripture. He can't answer it. So Dr. Best began to turn it into a joke. And he stood there, I have a problem with a man of God that would stand in the pulpit and take his fist and hold it underneath the nose of another servant of God. Say, now, take the picture now, because there was a photographer snapping pictures. Take the picture now. Take the picture now. This is false. This is false. Take the picture now. Say, the man was snapping pictures like crazy. Say, well, look, you know, the debate is settled. This, he couldn't answer the question, so the debate is settled. He said, I know Brother Branham is in the auditorium, you know, and if he would like to come and just greet the people, we want to welcome him at this time. So Brother Branham came walking down to the pulpit, and when he got there to the pulpit, he just stood there, and he just began to greet the people. But while he was just standing there greeting the people, there was the photographer just began to take pictures of the prophet standing in the pulpit. And they went and they developed the pictures. And when they developed, none of the pictures came out that Dr. Best had his fist in the minister's face with Dr. Bob. None of those pictures even developed. But there was one picture that developed. And I had a chance earlier this year to go to the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. And I saw the picture in Washington, D.C., in the file, showing that our God answered by fire. And that picture that was there was this picture right here on this wall. The pillar of fire above the prophet's head, showing that God was with the prophet. Just like in the book of, amen, Kings, if it settled the thing that day for those people, why is that not settling it today? God has already answered by fire.
Amen. Amen.
The God that answers by fire, let him be God. The God that identified his prophet by fire, then let that be his prophet. God richly bless you. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us understanding of your word, for sending us a prophet that we would be aware of the things that are happening today. The prophet prophesies, the prophet speaks of events that may occur in the future. If we could just stay with what the prophet said, that we could avoid some of the destruction. Many families are impacted. Some are bound by a very evil spirit. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would bring deliverance to each one that is wrestling in this area. They're halted between opinions, don't know which way to go. Satan has anointed so many people. But God, your bride, that might be caught up in that number. Some of our family members, we are still claiming them. We're believing that somehow they'll be delivered. You will reveal yourself to them as you are revealing yourself to us. God, we don't want to see anybody destroyed like Dathan and Korah was destroyed. We don't want to see that. That would be the wrong heart, the wrong intention. We want to see people make it, but God, we got to be able to recognize the enemy and all of his tactics, how he's moving in this hour. It's just Satan. He wants to bring division, but we're determined to love one another. No matter what, God, we're going to love one another. When we're being drawn out of a circle, then we'll draw the circle larger to include our brother and our sister. God, that's the way we want to be. Your prophet taught us what true Christianity was all about. the life that he lived before us. It showed us what true Christianity was. And God, we believe we have to walk according to your word. God, my prayer is that you continue to bless Church of the Open Door. And you would continue to bless the saints, God, that gather here, the saints in this area. God, our heart just goes out for these believers. And I'm just believing, Lord, if we don't get a chance to see one another again on this side, we know time is winding up, Lord, that we'll meet each other in the rapture. I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to strengthen your bride. And let us continue to dig deep into the word of God, just feeding our spirit man off the word of God. That's what settles all the questions in our hearts, is the word. Help us, God, to stay with Joshua, to stay with Moses, to stay with your prophet, William Branham. Help us to stay with it. We ask it in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Certainly our pleasure to be here with you all this weekend. We trust the Lord said something might edify and strengthen your spirit and to keep you pressing the battle. May God bless you until we can meet again. God bless.
Well, we hear it on the tapes. The Lord lays it on my heart. These ministers keep coming by and preaching. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. It's a dark age, and people are being deceived. Seems like it just keeps getting darker and darker and harder and harder. But he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. The Spirit keeps calling and calling. What a blessed people we are. I know churches so-called in the message, some of them leaving the message, they've taken down this picture because they said they don't want to offend nobody. I said, if that picture offends somebody, then they need to be offended. Amen. We've recognized what happened in our day. We're proud to be identified with it. I'm not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ or his messenger, William Branham. Amen. I stand for it. I believe it. It's my life. I don't know where I'd be without it. I know there's many that they're struggling with different things in their families. They're struggling with questions. They're struggling with trials. And I have such a heavy burden on my heart for people here in the congregation and even in this area that don't even go to the to our assembly here. But I have such a heavy burden on my heart. And I feel sometimes like my hands are tied. I can't force myself on you. I can't help you and force myself into your homes or force myself into your trials. But if you need help, we're here for you. Brother Layton, these deacons, different ones, we're here for you. We'd love to talk to you. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to do whatever we can. But my hands are tied unless you come and let us help you. If you're struggling, if you've got a trial, if you've got a burden, don't wait till it's too late. Don't wait till Satan's won the battle. God's anointed men in this day to take this message and to pack it, not just to let it sit on a shelf and gather dust, but to apply it to our lives. If you have a need, there's brothers that'll pray with you. There's brothers that'll counsel you and advise you and try to encourage you in this word. Don't let Satan lie to you. Don't let Satan destroy your families. Don't let Satan destroy your spiritual life. God has provided a way for you in this day. There's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Somebody asked that we'd sing this morning. Most of you know it. Is this your desire this morning? People say, well, there's so much false around the message. There's ministers that have backslid and went into false doctrine. And there's people that make it a cult. And there's people that do all kinds of things with it. That don't have anything to do with Brother Branham. Hey, there was all kinds of false around Moses' ministry, too. There was all kinds of false around Luther's ministry. That didn't have anything to do with them. They brought the pure word for their day. What other people do with it, they can degrade it and water it down and live any kind of life they want. That don't have anything to do with them. Let's take it back to what the word said. Don't let Satan fool you with all the scarecrows. Well, this group won't fellowship with that group, and that group won't fellowship with that group. Well, there's the most scarecrows around the best food. Amen. But I want to get past all the scarecrows and go on and eat me that real word. Oh, it's my desire. Let's just stand and sing this song. To be
like Jesus. Oh, it's my desire. Testimony, if you could see where my Jesus brought me from, where I am today, you know the reason why I love him so. Now you can take this world, its riches.
Desire this morning to be like you. Lord, as we look around, we can look at the nominal world, we can look at the atheists, we can look at the world of Islam and all these different groups, Father. All of them are claiming to believe something. But Lord, we look at the fruits that it produces. Oh, anger and hate and malice and pride and all kinds of worldly lives, Father, living like the world and claiming to profess some type of religion. But Father, we see in the ranks of this message, oh, there's still unbelievers and make-believers that hang around. But Lord, there's a true bride of Jesus Christ that's rising up. She's clothed in the Word and she stands for it. We see, Lord, He's still answering by fire to change lives, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. Signs and wonderings still following the believers, Father. Lord, we see what it produces, Lord. We know it's vindicated. We stand for it. It's our desire to live it in its purity, Father, not to water it down because it offends somebody, but to stand for it with everything that's within us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to have that perfect love for one another. Lord, even if we don't agree with our brother, help us to pray for him. Help us to love him and try to help him, Father, and lift him up when he falls. Lord Jesus, help us to stand for one another. If it's our brother or sister, Lord, that we think maybe they're out of the way, Lord, help us not just to turn aside and to shun them or, Lord, to cut them off, but help us to go in the Word, Lord, to speak the truth in love, Father, not to run them down or to accuse them or to push them down further, but to speak the truth in love, Father, to try to restore them back to the fold. Help us, Jesus. Lord, sometimes it gets discouraging. as a minister, Lord, we see these ministers come through. Lord, you lay things on my heart. We play the tapes and over, Lord, yet we still see people seem like struggling with the same thing, struggling with holiness, struggling with this, struggling with that. Oh, help us to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Help it not just to be an intellectual conception of words that sit on a page, but may we take that and may it become life. Lord, help us to apply it to our own lives, Lord. The living Word, the Word made flesh in our day, Father. Be with us and help us. Lord, if we're not there, help us to stay on our knees till we get there, Father. Help us to be more like you, Father. Be with these, Lord, in attendance this morning, the visitors. Bless them, Father. The local church, Lord, bless them, Lord, and protect them on their ways as they go to eat or to their homes or wherever they have to go today. Father, be with them and bless them. Lord, we need strength. We need one another. Brother Branham said we need one another now more than we ever did. And yet the spirit of the age, and especially the spirit of this area, is just to divide and separate over any little thing that they can come up with. But the true bride of Jesus Christ will still keep fellowship. Doesn't matter what church we go to or what our last name is or what pet doctrine we have, Lord. If it's the true bride of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us to all truth. And where we can have fellowship with our brothers and sisters of like precious faith. Oh, help us, Lord, to overcome the blindness of this age. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Oh, you know the reason why I love you so, so you can take me. that answered with fire on Mount Sinai, that answered with fire and accepted Abel's sacrifice, that answered with fire. He's still a present God this morning. Amen. I believe there were many needs that came forth this morning, some of them serious needs, but I know that He's still the God that answers with fire. It's still a vindicated word. We believe it. We've come at the authority of His word. We've laid hands on the sick. We've anointed them with oil. We've prayed the prayer of faith. Amen. God's not a respecter of persons. What He did for one, He can do for you. Amen. God bless you this morning. Let's just sing this. This is our victory song. Sister Burgess here with us this morning. Her sister wrote this song, and we just love it. It's just always been a special song to us. And she's gone on beyond the curtain, but maybe God will let her look over the banister and listen to it this morning. Sister Brenda Lewis. Amen. Oh, it's already done. Hallelujah. It's already done. We praise Your name. The battle is over. The victory is won. It's already done. You believe that this morning? Whatever you're going through, it's already done.
up. She brought little Jackson up. He had a real croupy cough yesterday, and he's been hospitalized several times for that. We prayed for him last night, and she said it's already done. He's been completely better since last night. Praise the Lord. He's still Hebrews 13:8. Still the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a mighty God that we serve. Amen. I know it's a little later than normal, but just think all those extra calories you burned this morning. Might have saved you a gym payment this week or something. Amen. God bless you this morning. I know you're probably hungry and wanting to fellowship and everything, but amen. Sometimes it's just good to take a little bit more time for the Lord and just let Him move. Amen. When He's moving and His presence is here, people being healed and lives being changed. Amen. I think everything else can wait just a few minutes for that. Amen. Remember service 7:30 Wednesday night. Let's just sing this as we go. Oh, we'll give all the glory to Jesus and tell. I want to tell of His love. Yes, we'll give all the glory to Jesus and tell of His wonderful love. I want to give all the glory to Jesus and tell of His love. I want to tell. Oh, yes, we'll give all the glory to Jesus and tell of His wonderful love. I want to give all the glory to Jesus and tell of His love. I want to tell of His love. Yes, we'll give all the glory to Jesus and tell.